Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from Game 7 of the World Series, even though it's the wrong sport, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana.
We're equal opportunity here.
Yes, we have a net up in front of the studio here just in case a foul ball comes our way. But how are you tonight, Jana?
Yeah,
the Cowboys had a bye week last week. My Giants played as though they were on a bye week. But anyway, now we have the rematch this week, which promises to be pretty ugly from my perspective and pretty fun from your perspective.
Bye weeks are the best week of the season when you're a Cowboys fan, because short of someone, you know, getting arrested, which actually happens with alarming regularity, it's the only time of the year where we can't mess something up. We're just existing, just treading water. I'll take it.
Well, and the Eagles did gain half a game on you this past week, although it didn't look like that would happen in the first half. But they came back and put together a pretty nice second half.
What a weird game. Yeah, there was a lot of strange stuff this weekend.
Yeah, well, when we do our fantasy trick-or-treat at the end of the show, I'll have some more to say about the Eagles. But anyway, in the meantime, how can people find out about us or just find us?
Yes, because 1 hour a week just really isn't enough of us. We know that. You know that. So there's a whole lot of ways to get a hold of us throughout the week. We are all over social media. We're on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. We're on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show at JKIM16 and Fantasy _ Sherpa. I'm pretty sure you can figure out who's who. And, of course, we're here for an hour. We'll be with you from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, as we are every Wednesday night. And if you miss an episode, you can always go back and find anything in the archives that you're looking for. So we've got a jam-packed show. As you mentioned, we have our always popular Halloween Trick and Treat segment. That'll be later in the show. We're also going to give you all the injuries, news, and notes. We have a couple of trades. We'll give you waiver wire picks to help with those bye week holes you have to fill. And this week there sure are a lot of them. We'll give you
there
game predictions, daily fantasy picks, and so much more. So stick around. We've got all kinds of good stuff coming for you. But we'll get to everybody's favorite part of the show first off. This is where we can see how long I can go without breathing, and you make a Christmas turkey. So without further ado.
And eat it.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to the trades in a minute and some fun-filled drama. Quarterbacks talking to the media while they're heated is always a good thing. But first off, for the Thursday night game this week, out in San Francisco, running back Matt Breida is still dealing with that ankle injury. He and the fellow running back, Raheem Mostert, both were questionable. They were limited to practice with ankle and knee injuries, respectively. So we'll see. It's probably going to come down to game time. It looks like they'll both play, though. On the other side of the ball for the Cardinals, tough-looking backfield right now. Running back Chase Edmonds, who was supposed to be the guy last week because David Johnson was inactive, hurt his hamstring. He's out likely a few weeks. He's definitely out for tomorrow night. Running back David Johnson managed to have a limited practice today. He's still dealing with that ankle injury, so he's questionable for tomorrow night. I would go very far out on a limb and say he's going to at least be active. How effective he'll be, it's hard to say. All of this fun, the Cardinals, one snap for 2 yards. Put him down for that, pencil him in. The Cardinals did trade for Miami running back Kenyon Drake, who has been rumored to be on the block entire season. Miami is continuing their tanking playbook. So Kenyon Drake is, quote, going to play in some capacity tomorrow night. Is that one snap for 2 yards? Is that 3/4? I don't know. Probably depends how much of the playbook he's actually seen since getting off a plane from Miami. So take all that with a grain of salt. I probably wouldn't be starting a whole lot of these guys. Yeah, we'll see how that goes a little bit later on. In Houston, their wide receivers are pretty banged up. Will Fuller is going to be out again this week and probably the next few with that shoulder injury. DeAndre Hopkins was limited to practice with that thumb injury he's going to play through. But on the bright side, Kenny Stills, who's still dealing with a hamstring injury, did fully practice and looks pretty good. Deshaun Watson got a little beat up on Sunday. He got poked in the eye. He got his ankle twisted. It was a whole thing. He fully practiced. It said he's going to be fine. If I were him, I'd be a lot more worried because most of his offensive line didn't practice today, and it looks like may miss this weekend. So pray for Deshaun Watson. He may need it. In Jacksonville, their defense is also pretty banged up. Most of them didn't practice at all, who plays and who doesn't. Going to be interesting to see. Wide receiver DJ Chark is dealing with that quad injury, and wide receiver DD Westbrook is dealing with neck and shoulder injuries. They're both questionable. They both practice today. It looks like they are going to play, but keep an eye on it just in case. In Washington, no running backs are practicing today, so I'm sure that was a really interesting looking offense for them on the field. Chris Thompson didn't play last week. He's dealing with that toe injury still. Adrian Peterson, who wasn't practicing last week, did play through the ankle injury and put pretty good numbers. Looks like he's going to play this week. Thompson's still touch and go. Case Keenum was back at practice today after missing yesterday. He's limited. He's in the concussion protocol. Looks like he'll probably play this week, but the next 2 days will be pretty telling. And tight end Vernon Davis, also in the concussion protocol, was limited to practice, but back on the field, so that's a good sign there. In Carolina, stop me if you've heard this one, Kyle Allen is going to play quarterback for them this week as Cam Newton, quote, rehabs what he's been doing this entire time. I don't know why the coaching staff felt like they had to go out on a limb to make it clear that Cam Newton was rehabbing. I'm not sure what's going on there, but he's not playing football this week or probably the next several. So we'll see what happens. Unfortunately for Kyle Allen, both of his wide receivers are a little banged up. Curtis Samuel is dealing with a shoulder injury and Jarius Wright is dealing with an ankle injury. They both didn't practice today. They were both questionable going into the weekend. Running back Christian McCaffrey was limited at practice with a knee injury. He's been dealing with that the last couple of weeks. He's going to play through it. In Tennessee, tight end Delanie Walker, the always injured but always playing, actually missed a game last week with that knee injury. He's still not practicing, so I'd keep an eye on that. It looks like Jonnu Smith has really been the go-to guy for Ryan Tannehill. So whether or not Walker plays, I think Smith is probably still a good play there. And for what it's worth, both sides of the ball for the Panthers and the Titans, their defenses are looking like the walking wounded. So this may not be a defensive matchup this week. In Philadelphia, things are getting a little better. They're getting a little healthier. DeSean Jackson has actually graced the Eagles with his presence on a practice field. He had a limited practice today, allegedly coming back from the abdominal injury. I'll believe it when I see it. Running back Darren Sproles is dealing with that quad injury, but he also was back at practice, albeit in a limited fashion. And Miles Sanders did not practice today with that shoulder injury. Keep an eye on that, but it looks like he'll probably still play this weekend. In Minnesota, Adam Thielen missed last week with that hamstring injury. He was limited at practice today, and they said it's a pretty good chance he plays this weekend. My fantasy teams would be very happy if that were the case. In Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes dislocated his kneecap not 2 weeks ago. Looks like he's going to play quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs this week. He was a limited participant at practice today. They're planning as if he's going to play. It's probably going to go down to Saturday or Sunday before they make a firm decision. But most people, when their kneecap dislocates, they're shut down for weeks, months. He might miss one game. This is just absurd. Structurally, apparently, his knee's stronger than any other human. Whatever. Good for him. In New York, quarterback Sam Darnold's terrible month continues. He's had mono. He's had a toenail removed. He now has a thumb injury, and he's haunted. But the good news is he's practicing fully. He's going to play quarterback this weekend. In Indianapolis, wide receiver T.Y. Hilton was limited with a calf injury today. He's going to play through it, barring any kind of setback between now and Sunday. And Pittsburgh, running back James Conner did not practice, probably still picking turf out of his face mask, or it could be the shoulder injury. Either way, he did not practice today. He was quoted on Pittsburgh Talk Radio today saying he's day-to-day. We all are, but so I guess he's not sure if he's going to play or not this weekend. I would think he probably is, but have a plan B. Running back Benny Snell actually didn't practice for the Steelers as well. He's dealing with a knee injury. So Jalen Samuels would be the guy to get the majority of the workload, depending if one or both are out. So might be a good idea to stash him. In Detroit, quarterback Matthew Stafford still playing through that hip injury, but he's practicing. What's more concerning in Detroit is that their defense, particularly all of their cornerbacks, are pretty hurt right now. So that could be tough for them this week. The Raiders are dealing with a few injuries as well. Running back Josh Jacobs is dealing with the ever-present shoulder injury. He's limited to practice. He's going to play through it this week. Wide receiver Tyrell Williams came back from that foot injury. He was limited, and they're saying he's questionable for this weekend, but unless he has some kind of setback, he'll be fine. In Cleveland, wide receivers Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry were both limited at practice, not with bad attitudes, but actual injuries. Odell Beckham Jr. is dealing with a groin injury and Jarvis Landry with a shoulder injury. They're both planning on playing this week. for the Chargers, most of their defensive line didn't practice today. Keep an eye on that because that could be a real problem for them. On the offensive side, wide receiver Keenan Allen was limited with a hamstring injury, but looks like he should be good to go this week. The Packers just held a walkthrough today, so it's hard to gauge how close or far Devontae Adams is from actually getting on a field. They said that he's, quote, limited and pretty questionable going into this week, still dealing with that toe injury, but they're erring on the side of him actually playing, so keep an eye on it. It'd be nice to see him back on the field. Running back Aaron Jones is dealing with a shoulder injury, tight end Jimmy Graham with an ankle injury, wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling with ankle and knee injuries, and quarterback Aaron Rodgers with a knee injury were all limited. They're all going to play. Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard still in the concussion protocol. Doesn't look good for him this week, unfortunately. In Baltimore, wide receiver Marquise Brown was limited with his ankle injury. He's hoping to play this week, but it is still kind of touch and go. Not sure if you heard, but Cincinnati decided not 3 hours before the trade deadline on Tuesday that they were going to bench the Ginger Ninja Andy Dalton in favor of Ryan Finley. Andy Dalton's pissed and has been talking to anybody that'll listen in the media today because it happened so soon to the trade deadline that he thinks the team should have given him the courtesy of trying to get traded or at least let him test the waters, that they knew what they were going to do and waited on purpose, and now his panties are in a bunch. So things aren't going great in Cincinnati on top of the fact that they're 0-8 and things don't look like they're getting any better anytime soon. In other quarterbacks getting cranky with the media news, Joe Flacco went out and basically said his coaching staff was terrible and had no balls, which was really not well received in Denver. And then the next day, mysteriously had a herniated disc in his neck and is going to be out this week, possibly as many as 5 to 6 weeks, which makes Brandon Allen now your starting quarterback in Denver. In Washington, Trent Williams ended his holdout and promptly failed his physical due to, quote, helmet discomfort, and is also telling people that he's never going to play for the Redskins again. So he's showing up so that he can still get paid this season, but planning to never play a snap for them. So I can't see how that's going to go badly. And in Houston, J.J. Watt tore his pectoral muscle in the game on Sunday, and he's done for the season. He had surgery yesterday and went on a couple of fun drug-induced Twitter rampages about the Astros game last night. So we're all in support of that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your 15-minute-long injury report.
I found the most awesome Halloween costume while you were doing the injury report.
I really enjoyed the people who were dressing up as Antonio Clown.
Well, they've got two guys at the World Series game tonight, and they're dressed up as Max Scherzer's eyes. And for those of you who don't know, Max Scherzer has two different colored eyes. And so there's one guy has a blue eyeball and one guy has a brown eyeball, and they're sitting together.
In DC,
they
have these
pretty
huge
awesome
billboards of just an extreme close-up of his eyes all over the place. It's very weird.
Well, yeah, the two fans, I guess, took that to the next level at the game tonight. It's pretty
solid.
Fun to see.
I can respect that.
So, yeah. So anyway, back to football, the waiver wire running backs, as Jenna alluded to before, we've got Atlanta, Cincinnati, the Rams, and New Orleans on bye this week. So no Alvin Kamara, no Todd Gurley, no Joe Mixon, no Devontae Freeman. So who are you going to pick up if you need somebody this week? Well, none of these guys are going to replace those four running backs, but Mark Walton in Miami looks like a decent pickup, now that Kenyon Drake is no longer in the picture. I don't know that Kalen Ballage is much of a threat there. Ronald Jones, II in Tampa, has been disappointing this season, but he's still out there. Ty Johnson received a lot of waiver wire love last week and promptly did nothing. But he's still out there if you want to give him another chance this week. And Jalen Samuels with Pittsburgh, who, as Jenna mentioned, if James Conner can't go this week, he stands to be in line for a pretty big workload. So it's pretty slim pickings at running back this week, just as it was last week. But do you have anyone you want to add to that list, Jenna?
Just worth noting that Darius Geis is back at practice, and since running backs don't stay healthy in D.C. very long or very often, that if he's out there, I'm certainly thinking about stashing him. I have him on one team. I'm just waiting for him to actually start playing. But I'm with you. Kalen Ballage makes me very nervous, and the fact that the Dolphins don't actually want to win games makes me nervous as well. I'm all in on Jalen Samuels. He's probably at the top of my list this week.
All right. And at wide receiver, as was the case last week, there are many more options. Should you be looking for somebody this week? You know, you're obviously missing, you know, the Cooper Cups and the, you know, Michael Thomases and, you know, Robert Woods.
Cooper
and Brandon
Cup had
Cooks
himself a first
and,
half last week.
Yeah. He's having quite the season so far. And Julio Jones, I think I mentioned to you in this one league, I traded Aaron Rodgers for Cooper Cup a few weeks ago and was wondering if that was a good move, and now I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Worked out okay. Worked out all right for you, I think.
But that particular move worked out pretty well. So so wide receiver options for you this week include Deontay Johnson in Pittsburgh, Danny Amendola, who's had a string of nice games in Detroit, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, and Adam Humphries in Tennessee, you know, banking on the Ryan Tannehill resurgence. Philip Dorsett in New England, Kenny Stills and Kiki Kuti in Houston, Cole Beasley in Buffalo, Preston Williams in Miami, Randall Cobb in Dallas, Zach Pascal, who's been a diamond in the rough in Indianapolis, Darius Slayton with the Giants, James Washington also with Pittsburgh. So those are some wide receivers that I'd be looking at if you have any holes to fill in your roster this week.
Yeah, I totally agree with your list. I'm pretty high on Preston Williams, undrafted rookie in Miami. He's been looking good. I think that despite the fact that the team is not good, there are some bright spots, and with the right matchups, including this week, I think Preston Williams could definitely be a good pickup.
Yeah, if there's ever going to be a week where the Dolphins are going to look good, this is it. I still don't think it's going to happen, but if there ever were a week, then all right. Well, I can tell we already disagree on one game.
Game picks are going to be good this week.
All right. So moving on to quarterbacks, Derek Carr has a nice matchup this week, and he's widely available. Sam Darnold also has a very nice matchup this week and is also very widely available. And I know you're not as keen on that pick, but
He's haunted. It's Halloween. This just can't end well.
It'll be after Halloween by then. He won't be haunted anymore. It'll be turning over a new page in the calendar.
Beetlejuice is around year-round. I'm not saying it's going away.
He still has Robbie Anderson as his wide receiver. The Jets didn't trade him for whatever reason. So he's still got one pretty dynamic weapon to throw to. Ryan Tannehill continuing the resurgence in Tennessee. Mason Rudolph back in action in Pittsburgh now. And if you're into stashing, then Nick Foles, I know you don't want to hear this with Gardner Minshew, still looking pretty good, but I think that's all she wrote. When Nick Foles is ready to play again, I think Gardner Minshew, returns to being a backup quarterback.
Maybe they'll do like Alabama was doing for a while and play one quarterback in the first half and one in the second half. Are you really getting into that?
Or they could really confuse the defense and just go with like two wide receivers and, you know, or go without a tight end and then just have both of them in the backfield and then have the snapper, you know, hike it to one or the other and, you know, just confuse defenses then.
This would be perfect. I'm so in on this.
Or have Leonard Fournette snap it to Leonard Fournette and then he decides who to hand it off to, and then, you know, one of the two quarterbacks can run that particular play.
Hopefully they don't run into each other like the 49ers did last week and tackle your own running back because you're in motion too late. That's not a good look.
No, that isn't, although it certainly didn't affect the outcome of the game, which we won't talk about seeing as how our picks for that game were quite different last week, and I promise not to say anything if I happen to be right about that game, but we'll let that go. All right. Moving on to tight ends.
I'm picking against the 49ers again this week. Don't worry, guys.
All right. Moving on to tight ends. O.J. Howard widely available, which is a little surprising. Yes, he has been a big disappointment so far this season, Dallas Goedert is also widely available, which, you know, okay, on the one hand, he's nominally Philadelphia's second tight end, but if you look at the box scores the
Zach
last few
Ertz right
weeks,
now.
He's been getting, you know, at least as much action as Zach Ertz has in terms of the Philadelphia offense. So that's a good speculative pickup. Jack Doyle with Indianapolis, again, wasn't doing much at the beginning of the season, seems to have opportunity now. Noah Fant in Denver, quarterback switch. We'll see if that doesn't him any good.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Herndon, not as optimistic about his prospects in New York, but still out there. Kyle Rudolph with Minnesota, Cameron Brate, the other tight end in Tampa, Jordan Akins, part of a two-headed monster in Houston, and then just for the sake of mentioning him, we'll mention Mike Gesicki, since we know you like to hear his name every
week.
Got a
lot of camera time this week. I was really excited about that. A lot of good sideline looks, not so many actual in the game, but you know what? He's out there. I'm very into the Noah Fant pickup this week. If there's any team where a tight end is going to be a crutch here, I think this is it, especially with this matchup. I think he could be poised for a really good game this week. So he's probably at the top of my list.
Right, and then moving on to defense and some widely available defenses that I think have good matchups this week. Cleveland certainly didn't look too hot against New England, but hopefully the weather and the matchup will be more forgiving this week. Dallas, needless to say, their matchup is pretty favorable. The Jets and Miami, so I'll go both sides of that one. But who do you like, and is there anybody I'm overlooking there?
I would also throw the Redskins and the Browns in that mix.
The Browns were at the top of my list.
Well, they're at the top of mine also.
Okay. All righty. So let's move on to our top list and avoid our list of top players and avoids for this week. So why don't you start us off with running backs? Who's on your top list?
Top of my list is, without a doubt, Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. Dalvin Cook coming in at two. I know Kirk Cousins is not great against team with winning records, but he might not actually have to throw a pass. I think it's all Dalvin Cook this week, and I'm excited about it. Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley, of course, in our big game this week. And then rounding out my top five would be Aaron Jones in Green Bay, Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb, Chris Carson, Le'Veon Bell, and Josh Jacobs running out my top ten.
All right, we agree on exactly half, and a couple
That's
of you guys
us,
are on my
actually.
Honorable mention list, and of course, two of the ones you named are at the top of my avoid list. So, yeah, as usual, we see things quite differently. So, top of my list is, yes, that is pretty much par for the course. Top of my list is Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott second, Tevin Coleman third, Aaron Jones, who had himself a nice game last week, Aaron Jones fourth, Carlos Hyde fifth, Josh Jacobs, 6, Frank Gore, 7, the newly acquired Kenyon Drake, 8, Leonard Fournette, 9, and Jordan Howard rounding out my top 10. Honorable mentions include Chris Carson, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, or Jalen Samuels if Conner can't play, and then Derrick Henry.
Okay, all right. I had Derrick Henry at 11, so I'm on board with that honorable mention.
All right. How about your avoid list for this week?
Well, I've got Chris Thompson at the top of it. Not entirely sure he's going to hit the field, and if he does, I don't want any part of it. Rex Burkhead in New England, Peyton Barber, Damian Williams, Ronald Jones, Kalen Ballage, we talked about earlier, Nyheim Hines, Raheem Morstead, J.D. McKissick, Zach Center, whose name I really like saying, but on a Thursday night game, I just can't endorse it.
Right. For me, Christian McCaffrey is at the top of my list. Saquon Barkley
is
second.
What's wrong with you?
Mark Ingram. Nobody's going to start that close. So, no, why, you know, I don't know. To me, avoid list should be people you would start otherwise. So, that's why Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley are at the top of my list. Mark Ingram, third. Mark Walton, fourth. Adrian Peterson, fifth. David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen, 6. Philip Lindsay, 7. And Royce Freeman. And Ronald Jones, II, and Peyton Barber agree with you. So that rounds out my top 8, which is actually 11 because I gave you 3 combos.
You like the combos. You really do. You're a big fan of the by
I
committee
do.
avoids.
Yeah. Just void the whole committee.
Yeah, we're done with them. We don't need them. To each their own. It works.
Alrighty, so for wide receivers, I've got DeAndre Hopkins at the top of my recommended list for this week. Juju Smith-Schuster, Terrell Williams, Tyler Lockett, Amari Cooper, Alshon Jeffrey, Emmanuel Sanders, Davante Adams, if he's healthy enough to play, Larry Fitzgerald, and Adam Thielen, again, assuming he's healthy enough to play. Honorable mentions for me are Stephon Diggs and the John Brown Cole Beasley combo in Buffalo.
Combo number five. We actually have
That's
some
right, the big
overlap,
meal
so that's
combo.
promising.
All right, let's see how much.
I've got DeAndre Hopkins at the top of my list also. I've got Chris Godwin at two, Kenny Galladay, and then Mike Evans. So both Tampa Bay wide receivers in my top four. At five, we've got Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, Tyreek Hill, Julian Edelman, Keenan Allen, and DJ Chark. That's my top 10.
All right, so we have 3 of 10 that we agreed on. You'll be happy to know
Didn't
that
say a lot.
Mike
I said
Evans.
some.
You'll be happy to know Mike Evans and Chris Godwin 1 and 2 on my avoid list for this week.
Oh,
Preston
good grief.
Williams, Allen Robinson, Terry McLaurin, Devontae Parker, DJ Moore, Courtland Sutton, the Marquise Brown Willie Snead combo, and then the Golden Tate Sterling Shepard Darius Slayton combo. Avoid all of them.
All of them. We're avoiding all of them. I've
Just
got
all of
Courtland
them.
Sutton at the top of my avoid list. I'm not entirely sure what's going on in Denver. I don't really think anybody is, and I don't want to mess around with anybody but Noah Fant out there. I've also got Philip Dorsett and Jamison Crowder on my avoid list. Kenny Stills, Sammy Watkins, Cole Beasley, Chris Conley, DeSean Jackson, Marquise Brown, and Devontae Parker. Rounding out my top 10 avoids.
All right. Just some agreement there. How about
Little
quarterbacks who
bit.
do you like this week?
Actually got Russell Wilson at the top of my list. Despite the fact that I'm telling you Tampa Bay wide receivers are going to score a lot of points, I think Seattle actually wins that game. So I've got Russell Wilson at the top of my list, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, and Matthew Stafford. Even with a bum hip, he's still in my top five. Josh Allen in Buffalo all the way up at six on my list this week. Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson, Gardner Minshew II, and Tom Brady running on my top 10.
We agreed on most of the top five, although in slightly, or your first five are, there's a fair amount of overlap with my list, but then we kind of diverged from there. Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson are top of two in my list, so slightly different order from yours, but same idea. Derek Carr is third on my list. Carson Wentz fourth. Aaron Rodgers, fifth, Dak Prescott, sixth, Josh Allen, Goff, seven, Jimmy Garoppolo, eight, Kirk Cousins, nine, Kyler Murray, 10, and Mason Rudolph, just outside my top 10, and you'll get an honorable mention.
Yeah, I mean, he came back from the dead. He should at least be on the honorable mention list. That is fair.
Yeah, especially for Halloween week.
This is the time. I
I'll
have
be.
Sam Darnold and his haunted self on my avoid list, as well as Jacoby Brissett, Derek Carr, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Boy, we really, our quarterback lists are quite different. I've got
Little
Lamar
bit, yeah.
Jackson at the top of my avoid list. I don't think he's going to be
Ooh.
able to do much against New England's defense. Patrick Mahomes and Matt Moore, whichever one of those plays, I don't want. Gardner Minshew, II, Kyle Allen, Mitchell Trubisky, Jameis Winston, who is on your recommended list, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, Brandon Allen, and sadly, Daniel Jones, all on my avoid list for quarterbacks this week.
Sorry. I'm sorry about Daniel.
Yeah, I'm sorry too, but just trying to be realistic here. All right,
That's all
so
you can
tight
do.
ends. George Kittle has been somewhat of a disappointment this season. I mean, he's putting up decent stats, but probably not what you would expect for somebody you probably had to draft in the third round if you got him. Travis Kelce, who is putting up decent stats, second on my list. Darren Waller, third. Jimmy Graham, fourth. Dawson Knox, fifth. The Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert combo, 6. Vance McDonald, 7. Kyle Rudolph, 8. The Jordan Akins, Darren Fells combo, 9. And Luke Wilson, 10th on my list.
Luke. I've got George Kittle at the top of my list. Darren Waller at 2. Evan Ingram, Travis Kelce, and Hunter Henry running out my top 5. Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, TJ Hockenson, Jason Witten, and Greg Olsen running out my top 10.
All right. So, again, quite a bit of a difference here. I've got Greg Olsen in the top of my avoid list. Evan Engram, 2nd. Mark Andrews, 3rd. Vernon Davis, 4th. Sorry, Mike Gesicki, 5th. Trey Burton, 6th. O.J. Howard, 7th. Cameron Brate, 8th. And Noah Font, 9th. And I couldn't even find a 10th one that I wanted to avoid.
Oof. Tough. Tough. He's throwing the towel. I've
got
Jimmy Graham's at the top of my list. Jack Doyle, Chris Herndon, Delaney Walker, Darren Fells, Dallas Goedert, Jonnu Smith, Eric Ebron, O.J. Howard, and Vance McDonald.
All right. Good to see we see that point differently, too. About defenses, yep. Who do you like this week?
I've got the 49ers at the top of my list. Which is going to surprise you when I pick the Cardinals in a little bit, but I think their defense is going to be what keeps them in it. I've got the Bills at 2, the Cowboys at 3, followed by the Seahawks and Titans to round out the top 5. We've got the Browns, Panthers, Patriots, Eagles, and Vikings rounding out my top 10.
So we agreed on 7 of the top 10, which is pretty good because I only picked 8
yeah.
for my top 10. But I've got Buffalo at the top of my – actually, I'll put Buffalo, Seattle, Cleveland, and Dallas together in one category, in one tier, and then second tier.
You're putting
no,
combinations and committees on the avoid list, and I've got tiers for defenses.
It's the recommended list. It's my trail of tiers. So I've got those two, then
way.
I've got the second – the second guiding you to victory as always. And then my second tier of defenses, recommended defenses for this week would include Philadelphia, the Jets, Tennessee, and New England.
Okay. I actually did not go a full 10 on my avoid list, but I'll give you 8. That's you got close.
That's how many I have. Let's see if we agree on all 10.
Okay. I've got got the Jaguars, the Bears, Jets, Steelers, Dolphins, Colts, Packers, and Cardinals.
I would agree on about half. I've got Tampa Bay at the top of my list.
Terrible.
Detroit, Arizona, Chicago, the Giants, Jacksonville, Washington, and the Chargers rounding out my top 10 of 8.
Yeah,
right.
Top 8. I mean, that's more than you usually do for DFS, so I'm proud of you.
All right, I'm getting there. My sloth is evident. But anyway, shall we move on to game picks?
Yes. I think you're going to be sufficiently angry with me by the time this is over. I feel pretty good about that.
Angry or amused, and probably the feeling.
I think
will
it's
be
a it's a nice
for...
combination. Though. After 10 years, I think it's just like, what are you going to do?
Right. So, at the first up for this week, we've got the Thursday night game Jana mentioned a few minutes ago. We've got San Francisco on the road in Arizona. San Francisco looked really, really impressive last week. Arizona, much less so. I'm going to say that San Francisco continues in the ranks of the unbeaten with a 31-27 victory. And as you mentioned already, you're already predicting the upset here, but lay it on us.
I am. So, shocker of all shocks, I'm taking Arizona. No running backs, not a problem. I think they'll be fine. Also, not sure if you realize, but Arizona has actually won 8 straight games against San Francisco, and I think after tomorrow, it's going to be 9. I think they're winning 27-20. It's happening, people. It's all happening.
Just like Carolina last week.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
You know, you can't win them all.
No. Well, the 49ers and the Patriots apparently can, but next up we've
not
got...
Not for long.
Jimmy Garoppolo and his former team on the Super Bowl collision course. think of the storylines.
Oh, yeah. God. How annoying is that media week going to be? Good grief.
Well, my guess is that one of those two teams will make it, and it's not San Francisco. So moving on, we've got Houston at Jackson. I hope I'm wrong about that, in that I hope New England doesn't make it either, but we'll see.
That'd
so
be nice.
First, yeah.
Houston at Jacksonville at London.
Yes, Houston at Jacksonville at London. I'm going to pick against Jacksonville in their annual home game.
Terrible idea.
In London, but I'm going to say Houston will travel better than Jacksonville, and even though they're a time zone further west, I think they'll still prevail in this. I'll go with
the nice thing
Houston.
We get daylight savings time, so like really on the East Coast, what's a 9:30 start? It's really 10:30 start, so like that doesn't.
Which means it's really 9:30 in Houston then, and that's maybe
part
of the reason why I'm picking them.
Maybe it'll help.
It won't get quite the parade the Astros will if they hold on, but I'll go with Houston to win this 30-24 in what probably qualifies as a shootout for Jacksonville.
That's a lot of points. That's a lot of points in London. I'm going to take Jacksonville to win this. I'm sure you're all shocked by that. I'm going to take them to win 28-24. They are the resident London home team, and they've won 3 out of their last 4 games, and the one they lost was only because they had that ridiculous $64,000 bar tab, and some of them sent the night in jail. I'm hoping that doesn't happen this time. And I think with old Gardner Minshew I think people in England love mustaches. I think it'll play very well there. I like having morning football games, and you know what? I'm going Jacksonville. Those are all positives for me.
Alrighty, next up we've got two teams I really like a lot, Minnesota at Kansas City, another matchup between a marquee NFC North team and the Chiefs. I really don't think they're going to bring Patrick Mahomes back this week. We'll see. I just think it's too risky.
That's actually ludicrous, but like, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, this is a game they'd be hard-pressed. Well, I think it would be a very competitive game if Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback and healthy. I don't think it's a very competitive game with him not healthy, and I think it's even less of a competitive game with Matt Moore. But I still think Kansas City will keep it close, so I guess I'm contradicting what I just said. I think it will be 27-24, but it won't be competitive. I don't know how that works. Maybe Kansas City scores on a Hail Mary on the last play of the game to make the score look
that
closer than
exciting.
It really is. But anyway, I'll go with Minnesota to win this game on the road and cement their status as one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the NFC.
I very similar outcome. I've got Minnesota winning 30-27, so I think it's going to be close. I think that it would be absolutely dumb to put Patrick Mahomes in this game, which means it'll probably happen. If I were a human being in any way involved in this decision making, like probably the Minnesota defense isn't who I'd want to play him against, but that's just me. Also, I think dislocating your knee probably deserves a little more respect than it's getting given right now. But whether or not he's under center, even if he's in this game, his arm's phenomenal, but you need to have your legs under you to throw those deep balls and make those kind of phenomenal plays that you're making, and I don't think he'd be able to do that. So regardless of who's playing quarterback, I think Minnesota still wins this game.
Probably a good thing he doesn't play in Atlanta, because if he did, they'd probably call a quarterback sneak on the first play of the game.
Probably.
And
like,
out
oh, let's
the
get
season.
This guy killed. We'd love to kill a human today. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Sacrificial lamb or franchise quarterback.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah,
next up,
I mean,
we've
I don't.
Got the...
People are wondering if the Broncos tried to kill Joe Flacco this week, so it's possible.
It's possible.
You never know.
Next up, we've got the Jets at Miami in the top 5 bowl or the bottom feeder bowl. Take your pick. And I think the Jets are going to prevail here. Wouldn't surprise me if Miami won, but I'll go with the Jets just because I think they're a little more talented at the skill positions. I'll say Jets 24, Miami 21 is Sam Darnold, triumphs over the Ghosts. If Miami
I really
to
like
scare
when people
him,
show up at
the
games
uniform.
Dressed like Ghostbusters. I'm super into that right now. Same
Could
title,
happen.
probably less so, but it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to continue my streak of picking people who have no business winning football games, and I'm going to take Miami to win this game. I think that they got a taste of what it's like to be a functional football team just for like two quarters, really like a quarter and a half in Pittsburgh in prime time, and old Fitzmagic still has some magic left in that beard, and I think this is the week. I think this is the one week they have a chance, and for like a mere $25, you could probably sit on the field in Miami to watch this game.
So what's your
Not a
final
lot of fans
score?
in the stadium. I'm thinking Miami to win 21-17.
Okay. Well, like I said, I can't criticize the pick too much because they're two awful teams.
This is their
anything can
one
happen.
Chance.
This is their Super
one
Bowl.
Chance. Yeah.
So
this is it.
Speaking of teams that didn't look very good last week, Buffalo was home against Philadelphia and went okay for a half, not so much for the other half.
And then it went very not okay for the second half.
Yes. This week they get a do-over against another NFC East team that's not quite as talented. That would be more functional. That would be the Redskins. And I think Buffalo will return to its winning ways. I think Josh Allen has his way with the Redskins defense, both on the ground and through the air. I'll say Buffalo 30 and the still Josh Norman full Redskins 17.
There you go. I'm going to take Buffalo to win 23-17. So we're close. I think Buffalo hangs in. I think Washington puts up a bit of a fight. But the fact that, you know, half their offense is concussed is not a great sign. They don't have a lot of healthy running backs. And against a Buffalo defense that half of them might not play this week, I think still Buffalo's got the edge here. Playing at home,
who do you think?
You know, their fans are wild.
Who do you think Trent Williams will be rooting for?
I think Trent Williams is rooting for probably like a bomb to go off in the Washington offices, but I think he's decidedly a Buffalo fan this week.
Okay. So
yeah.
Next up.
How can you fail a physical
to,
because of helmet discomfort? That's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Talk to Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Oh,
His head has gotten too big, so to speak. All right.
Yes.
Next up, we've got
anyway.
Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. Pittsburgh, nice win over a lousy team Monday night at home that didn't play very well first half and then turned it on a little bit in the second half. This week, a little bit stiffer challenge with Indianapolis, but I think Pittsburgh and Mason Rudolph will prevail. I hope James Conner is healthy enough to play, but even if he isn't, I think they'll take this. I think he'll have a good day throwing to Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson. Also, I'll say Pittsburgh by a field goal, 27-24.
I've got Indianapolis winning this by even a smaller margin.
Why
two
does that
points.
Not
I've
surprise
got them 23-21. I'm all in on this Indy team. I'm very on board with them. And Pittsburgh, I'm just a little concerned about the injuries. Mason Rudolph, I think, is going to be great. I like them playing at home. I could see this game going the other way, but I had to pick one.
They
and
just
I
barely
do,
beat
fact,
Denver.
I'm going to Indianapolis. That's
all
fine.
Right.
Everybody has an off week.
They just barely beat Denver
barely
at home.
They barely beat Miami.
Barely. They beat them by almost two touchdowns. Not by 2 points.
Okay. They at least were in the whole game. Pittsburgh showed up for half of it.
All right. Next up, we've got Tennessee at Carolina. This one, I'm guessing, we're also going to disagree on. You know, Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill experience. The bloom is kind of off the rose for Kyle Allen last week. Even though they're at home, and I'm sure they'll put up a good fight, I like Tennessee to win this by a field goal. I'll say Tennessee 24, Carolina 21.
I've got Tennessee winning 21-17. I think they're a little
right.
healthier of a team. I think their offense is a little
Surprise.
More functional. Yeah. I'm not going too crazy
okay.
here.
All right. Next up, we've got Philadelphia hosting Chicago. It seems like Philadelphia has been on the road forever. Now they'll reap the benefits
yeah, they
the second
were,
half of the
they?
Season with some an abundance of home games starting this week. Chicago. Again, just not looking very well these days, and I think that trend will continue.
No.
I say that Philadelphia wins this pretty easily. Hopefully they'll play a whole game this week, but or I should say hopefully not, since I'm a Giants fan, but for the sake of the team and their fans, yeah, hopefully they play a whole game this week. I'll say Philadelphia 31, Chicago 20.
I have this going a little differently. I'm agreeing with you. I think the Eagles will win this game, but I have them winning by a much smaller margin. I've got them winning 20-16. Got a little more faith in the Chicago defense, I think, more than anything. The Philadelphia defense really doesn't scare me. Mitchell Trubisky is not healthy. That is very clear. But I think Chicago hangs around, and I think their defense is what keeps them in this. So we shall see.
Okay. Next up, we've got the Seahawks and Tampa Bay. Seattle tried their darndest to give away that game to Atlanta after building up a big lead last week, but couldn't quite pull it off. But this week, I don't think they'll have too much trouble against another NFC South team, especially at home. I think they'll double up Tampa Bay. I think Russell Wilson will get it done through the air to Tyler Lockett. I think that Luke Wilson will have a big game. I think Chris Carson will have a big game. Don't like Tampa Bay's matchup against the Seattle defense on the road. I'll go with Seattle 34, Tampa Bay 17.
I have Seattle winning 32-21, so I've got Tampa hanging in a little bit more. But, yeah, I respect the Seattle defense. I think that their wide receivers, Tampa Bay's wide receivers, are going to have a nice day just because they're going to be playing from behind the whole time. They're going to have to throw the ball, and they're going to luck into some points that way. That's sort of how I see this going.
Okay, next we have a game that's apparently of interest to my cat since he just jumped into my lap. We've got the Detroit Lions on the road against the Oakland Raiders. Sorry, Kenny, but I think that Oakland is going to beat the Lions pretty easily. I'll say Oakland 34, Detroit 24.
Oh,
maybe
geez.
Kenny's a Lions fan because of Kenny Golladay.
The potential murder that's about to go down live on this show with Andrew Kett. I actually agree. I think Oakland is going to take this pretty handily. I'm worried about the fact that Detroit defense, I'm not sure how much is going to make it on the field, but I have Oakland winning 31-23. So, give me a nice day for the Raiders.
Okay. Next up, we've got Cleveland, second game in a row on the road. Last week, playing in the rain in New England. This week, who knows what, maybe they'll be playing in a foot of snow at Denver, but I think they'll equip themselves a lot better, and especially with Denver switching quarterbacks, I don't think that's going to go well. I think Cleveland will win this, not convincingly, but at this point, they'll take any win they can get. I'll say Cleveland 24 and the Broncos 17.
I think Cleveland winning this 20-14. I think this is going to be a messy game. I think that it would probably be best if people kept microphones away from Odell Beckham Jr. for a while and let them figure themselves out before he keeps going to the media. It's not a good scene offensively for Denver, despite how good their defense is and despite playing at home. I don't think they're going to have enough in the tank here.
Okay, next up we've got Green Bay at the Chargers, and you know, Chargers able to beat the Bears last weekend on the road, but
they were out-chargered. They found a way to actually win a game. Someone trying harder to lose than they did.
or being more inventive or creative in how to lose. This week, I don't think they're going to. I think they'll be back to their old Charger ways. I think Green Bay, even though you know the receivers and their quarterback are all injured, I think somehow they'll be healthy enough to pull off a victory on the road here. I'll say Green Bay 28 and the Chargers 24. And I'm just disappointed because 4 years ago, I think when they played this game, Josh Lambeau was kicking for the Chargers and went to Lambeau Field. But unfortunately, Mason Crosby is still kicking. Mason Crosby still kicking for the Packers. He must be about 40 by now. But when and if he ever does retire, hopefully they'll give Josh Lambeau a call.
That would be nice. I'd be really into that. I hope he's still kicking football. Just staying ready. I'm with you. I think the Chargers are going back to their normal Charger patterns, and they will find a way to lose the game, despite the fact that they could win it. They are certainly a healthier team. They've got some more weapons that could be useful here, but I think Green Bay is going to find a way, and I've got them winning 28-20.
Okay, next up we've got a Sunday night game that should be really interesting. We've got the undefeated Patriots traveling on the road to the upstart Ravens, leading the AFC North. Lamar Jackson looking like a potential MVP candidate. I want to pick Baltimore in this game, but I just can't do it. I think New England, you know, just their experience and as well as their defense is playing this week. I just think they're going to figure it out, even if their offense isn't really clicking on all cylinders yet. I'll go with a final score of New England 24 and Baltimore 21. And about the only thing I can say for certain is that Mike Nugent will not be kicking for the Patriots this week, but hopefully their kicker will make a game-winning field goal and be a folk hero.
I see what you did there. I'm actually going to do what you couldn't find a way to do. I'm going to pick Baltimore to win this football game. I'm going to pick them 27-23, taking them at home. I know everyone's all the Patriots and Bill Belichick find a way to neutralize your strengths instead of playing to theirs and exploit your weaknesses. But I think Lamar Jackson is dynamic enough and the run game is functional enough that they can find a way to overcome. I think their defense is going to have to do something to help score some points here, but I think Baltimore can steal one. I think this is going to be a very competitive game, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, that'll definitely be one of the more interesting games of the week. And
yeah.
Then the less said about this next game, the better. We close out the week with the Cowboys and Giants rematch. This one is in New York instead of the season opener in Dallas. I don't think it'll matter. I think the Cowboys will win this easily. Ezekiel Elliott triumphs over Saquon Barkley by 2 touchdowns. Final score, Cowboys 31, Giants 17, and the draft can't get here soon enough.
You're going to have to fight the Dolphins. They got about 17 draft picks now after the
draft. Well,
I'm also going
to move Nate Solder and they didn't, apparently. So I'm a little bummed about that.
No,
but
doesn't make a lot of sense. But
and they traded for Leonard Williams. What are they thinking?
I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure they are either, which is the weird part. You'd think there's some kind
of
plan.
Gave up a third-round draft pick for him. Then he's going to be a free agent.
Which you clearly need. You shouldn't be giving away draft picks right now.
So they'll essentially
switch
their third-round pick for a compensatory third-round draft pick, you know, for the to have Leonard Williams play half a season for them. That doesn't
What are you getting out of that?
Real good to
me. Make sense.
Yeah.
No.
If you're on the cusp of making
the
playoffs, maybe I can see you take a chance, but I don't think that describes the Giants.
Unfortunately, I would have to agree with you. And I'm also going to have to agree with you that they're probably not winning the game this week. I've got the Cowboys winning 34-24.
I don't know where they're going to get 24 points of offense from, but thank you for
they're
going
to throw a lot. And
more,
I really like Saquon Barkley, so, you know,
yeah,
I'm less thrilled with the Cowboys defense, I think.
Okay. So do you want to hit us up with your DFS picks? And after that, we'll do a little trick-or-treating fantasy style.
Yes. I'll do this quickly so we can do some trick-or-treating. Good stack options this week, the Raiders, the Bears, and the Lions, great value. You can certainly build around some of these lower-priced players. At quarterback, I like Derek Carr a lot. Mitchell Trubisky, despite the fact that he might not score a ton of points, I think for value-wise, you can save some money at quarterback and maybe spend on running backs. Brandon Allen, again, same theory, and Gardner Minshew, II, always on the recommended list here. At running back, Derrick Henry in Tennessee, Jalen Samuels, and Mark Walton, who's now potentially going to be the guy in Miami. I'm intrigued. I might want to take a flyer on him. It's an interesting play. Wide receiver, Kenny Golladay, can't say enough about this week. Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams, pretty much anyone named Williams, including Preston Williams and Devontae Parker.
But not Trent Williams.
Not Trent Williams. Any other Williams is fine. Marvin Jones and John Brown at wide receiver. At tight end, Johnny Smith seems to be the guy in Tennessee. T.J. Hockenson, Noah Font, and Dallas Goedert. And defensively, Washington and Miami would be at the top of my list there. Let's do some trick-or-treating.
Okay. We'll go position by position, but not for kickers. Who would you name as running backs, the one that you would say has tricked fantasy owners this year, this season so far, and who would you say has been an unexpected treat?
Who's
your running back trick?
I might go David Johnson. I'm a little grumpy with him currently.
Yes. He's the one on my
you're
list.
You're gonna start a guy and he's gonna play one snap and get 2 yards. It's terrible. I'm still a little salty about it. So I would say he's my trick right now. Who would you go with?
Agreed. You know, he was a top 5 pick in a lot of drafts this season. Definitely not playing up to that between the injuries and throws. What else? But yeah, he's definitely in the trick bag for Halloween. How about a treat? Who do you have in mind?
I might go Mark Ingram as a treat. I didn't expect to get as much out of him as I currently am. I was worried with Lamar Jackson being as much of a running quarterback, but they've still managed to have a pretty successful run game there.
Okay, I'll go with Carlos Hyde in Houston. I don't think really
okay,
many people
yeah.
thought much of him with Duke
no.
Johnson getting traded there right before the season started. You figured at best he'd be in a running back by committee situation, but he seems to have taken the bull by the horns, so to speak, and done some good things with the job there in Texas. So he would be my running back treat.
Okay, yeah, I can get on board with that.
Okay, wide receivers, who's on your trick? Who's your trick for the wide receivers?
I might go DeSean Jackson here, just because it seemed like it was going to be a good fit coming back to Philadelphia. There was a lot of high hopes coming out of training camp, and it just, not only did he go back to his old ways of, like, let's prolong an injury, and then every week he's going to be back, but, like, it just, I'm tired of it. I'm done.
All right. I'm going to say Odell Beckham Jr., who, again, was another first-round pick in a lot of drafts and just, yeah, he's made some nice individual plays, but overall, both he and Baker Mayfield.
Very much not
and,
a team guy.
And anybody associated with the Browns have not lived up to the hype so far this season.
Yeah, I think we can probably throw Antonio Brown on the trick list as well. I think that almost goes without saying, but got drafted pretty high by a lot of
many.
People, despite some off-field things. But
despite a lot of warning signs. But so how about a treat for a wide receiver who's been an unexpected boon to your fantasy teams or has done better than you thought they would?
Certainly DJ Chark, I would have to say. And Tyler Lockett, I drafted him in a lot of leagues, but got him lower than really where he's performing at now. I was hoping he'd have a good year, but he's exceeding my expectations so far, and I think it's going to keep getting better.
All right, I'll put another guy who, like Tyler Lockett, was on a lot of people's breakout lists this coming into the season, but has done even better, I think, than you would have expected, and that would be Chris Godwin with Tampa Bay. He's not on he's actually on my avoid list this week, but he and Mike Evans have been forming a pretty good 1-2 combo for Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay this season, so he'd be my treat. Quarterbacks, go ahead. Who's your quarterback, your trick list?
Matt Ryan. I'm done with this. I'm just done. He should be good. He's got wide receivers. It's just so up and down for where he's getting drafted, and I've got him on a team, and I hate every minute of it. I'm over it. I'm over Atlanta.
Okay, I'm going to go with, I guess Sam Darnold would be too easy, and Baker Mayfield would be another one that people had high hopes for, but I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. Yeah, hopefully he's finally healthy and gets his act together, but so far this season he's been a pretty big disappointment.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, how about... I've got a couple of guys. Actually, I'll go give you three names real quickly. One of them you'll probably be surprised by. I'll put Gardner Minshew II on the list, even though I don't have him on any of my teams. He's certainly done better than anybody would have expected coming into the season, especially since Nick Foles was the starter there. Among quarterbacks that were starters at the beginning of the season and have exceeded expectations, I would say Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen probably would be at the top of my treat list.
Yeah, Josh Allen's at the top of
You
my
know how much
list.
I love Josh Allen.
I know, and this is very big of you, and I appreciate that. So I'd say we
Okay.
could agree he was a treat.
Okay. All right.
Well,
Tight end
go
wise,
ahead.
just real quick. I know we're about out of time here, but I'll go with Zach Ertz and George Kittle both being pretty big disappointments so far.
Yeah, I'd say I actually Zach Ertz is probably my trick, and Dallas Goedert is a treat. I just he's exceeded what I thought for sure.
Yeah, I'll go with Darren Waller just because I think he's been a little bit more intricately involved in his team's offense, but Dallas Goedert is definitely somebody to watch for the second half of the season. And
Yeah, it'll be
we'll
interesting.
reprise this with a turkeys list and then a naughty and nice list at the end
Yes.
of the season. But this is the occasional feature that we always look forward to.
Yes, we want to hear your tricks and treats from your fantasy team. So find us all over social media all week. You can find us on Facebook. We're at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, at JKIM16, and Fantasy _ Sherpa. And of course, if you have lineup questions, you want to talk sports, you can find us. We're always around. We'll be back with you next Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as we are every week, giving you all of who to start, who to sit, game predictions, waiver wires, injuries, DFS, the whole nine yards. We got you covered. So good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.